In 2020, New York dumped, on purpose, 75 rail cars into the water off the state's shore to promote the local aquatic life. And the year before that, recycled steel bridge girders, pipes, and signs from the Staten Island Expressway were deployed 2 miles off the coast of Fire Island, also with the intent of creating a vibrant marine life for the area. If you're like me, and this entire concept confuses yet still intrigues you, then you're in luck. Because Carl Lobu, the Ocean Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in New York, joined us on Monday to explain Governor Andrew Cuomo's ongoing effort to develop an expansive artificial reef network for the state, which is expected to be a major economic boon for Long Island. Thanks for joining us, Carl.
You bet. I'm glad to be here.
So for starters, can you explain the principle behind what New York is doing? Because on the face of it, I wouldn't think that dumping former rail cars into the waters off Long Island would be an environmentally friendly move.
Sure. Well, you know, fishing, saltwater fishing is a pretty big deal down here on Long Island. It's important for the economy. It's why a lot of people like myself love to live here, to get opportunities to get out and go fishing. And, you know, it turns out in our near shore ocean waters that the hard bottom structure that a lot of the fish that people like to go targeting is relatively scarce. And so sometimes you have people traveling in a boat maybe 15 miles just to get to a shipwreck to go fishing and then find out that there's already two boats on that spot or there's a scuba diver on that spot, and then maybe you have to go another 5 miles. And what the state program does is it really is set up to establish areas enhanced with hard bottom structures like those rail cars and pieces of bridge, steel ships, and set those up in areas that are designated, that are designed for to kind of increase the habitat value and the fishing value, and put in areas that are easily accessible for both private boaters and for the for hire charter boats and party boats.
Are these sort of occurrences also naturally occurring in the water, or are they just stemming from, like you say, a sunken ship or these artificial efforts by the governor?
So these hard bottom habitat does naturally occur. It's just not as common in some places, and so it's really sought after by marine life as well as by fishermen who are looking for certain species of fish. A lot of marine life aren't targeted by fishermen, and they live happily on these structures. So we, you know, rock piles and things like that are naturally occurring, but for the large part on the south side of Long Island, once you get out past the beach, it's a lot of sand and open sand and silt and clay and mud. And so these habitats, there's shipwrecks that people go after, and these artificial reefs kind of serve that same purpose, and they tend to be much larger and people can spread out on them.
And is this the case, though, where the natural reefs, I mean, you said they don't exist in the quantity that we would like to see. Is it the case where maybe they've been destroyed or aren't developing because of certain man-made activities? Or is this just a case where we're using science and what we've learned over the years to just expand on a natural resource?
I mean, reportedly, you know, when you talk to some of the old-timers in the fishing industry, some of the hard bottom may have been impacted by past fishing activities, by mobile gear, or maybe it was just buried over time as sands shift. And so I think this is, it's additive. It's adding similar types of things that naturally occur.
Well, in 2019, recycled steel bridge girders, pipes, and signs from the Staten Island Expressway were deployed 2 miles off the coast of Fire Island to create a 744-acre reef. And last year, it was all about the rail cars. So can we basically throw anything in the water to create an artificial reef, or are there just certain types of materials that really perform well?
Yeah, I think, you know, if you go back many decades, probably some mistakes were made in certain believing that certain types of materials like tires, for example, could be used for artificial reefs. I think we know a lot more now, and really what they're using is steel and concrete. And so in some instances, that material is recycled and repurposed for use on land. And then in some places where that's economically challenging to do, this is an alternative that has the additional benefit of that we just discussed in terms of attracting and maybe even producing more fish.
How long does it take for one of these artificial reefs to really come into its own and generate benefits for the community? You know, when do fishermen really see that fish have begun to congregate around this area? I mean, we're in the third year of the governor's program of establishing these reefs. Are some of those original sites already paying benefits?
Yes, it's pretty remarkable, actually. I've got a friend who does this down in Ocean City and takes videos right after the material is deployed. And at that point, what you're seeing is fish attracted to the new structures. They're curious. They're trying to stake out who gets the best bedroom, so to speak, in the new house. And then over time, over a year, 2 years, 3 years, you start to get colonies of encrusting organisms, mussels, and then the sea stars come and feed on mussels and anemones, and that's when it really starts to look more like a naturally occurring structure that you might see in an underwater video, and not just some steel girders or ships on the bottom. So I'd say it immediately starts to attract fish. But over time, it starts to really create habitat in a few years for these a long suite of other organisms that we might, most people might not immediately think of because they're not fish, and they themselves create habitat, and so these things really grow a life of their own, and then I think start to produce fish. Starts to create habitat for real small juvenile animals.
We're talking about the state's artificial reef program, and our guest is Carl Lobo, the Ocean Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in New York. From your perspective, is there any downside to this program that the governor's really spearheaded?
It's pretty constrained. So I don't really see a downside. If some of this material has other beneficial recycling uses, that we might want to see them go towards that. But I think everything we've seen so far going into this program is material that is a perfectly suitable thing for that material, the old bridge material, that it really is both economical to get that down river and out in the water and reused.
And does this system require any sort of upkeep, or is it kind of just a set it and forget it situation? Once you've dropped the rail car in, you don't need to worry about it anymore.
Well, it doesn't require maintenance, but there's a lot. I'm a scientist, and there's definitely a lot that we can learn by understanding what grows on the structures, how long it takes, and really to take it to the next level and start to think about designing structures specifically for specific purposes. For example, we know that in the future we're constantly going to be having to refortify shoreline structures to fortify lower Manhattan, for example, as sea level rises. Can we create structures that not only do the fortification but also benefit nature in ways that create tide pools and structures for little fish to live in? We know we're putting wind farms in, and the same thing can be said about the structures that have to be put in for scour protection of undersea cables and the likes.
Is that sort of, I guess, broader ambition part of the governor's plan? Because I know he has a view to have more of these artificial reefs created over the next couple of years.
There's some level of monitoring that is occurring through the existing state program, and I know there's a lot of interest in the scientific community in using these as platforms for research and monitoring. So it'll be exciting to see how this comes about. I know the state's already gotten some great video and photos of the things that they've already put down.
And how does the state's program compare to what other states or countries are doing to boost their aquatic habitats? Because based on some of the press releases the governor's office puts out, his acolytes really describe this as like a really bold and innovative program. Is this a real game changer?
This is a real game changer in New York. This is the biggest influx of material and interest and excitement since some of these reefs were created, going all the way back to the 1960s. And in the governor's, I think the most material that's been put out has been put out in the last couple of years under Governor Cuomo. And the proposal that's on the table now is to create, there's 12 existing sites, to expand 7 of those in size and create 4 new ones. And so this is a pretty big expansion for New York. I can't speak for all the neighboring states. I know New Jersey has a fairly robust artificial reef program. I know there are folks in down in Maryland working on this, on similar kinds of things. In other nations, what's interesting in countries that have a lot of tourism from scuba diving, this kind of artificial structures could take many forms, including cement statues, for example, that attract scuba divers, and in many ways not only create a tourism opportunity, but also take pressure off of the coral reefs that are already under a tremendous amount of pressure. So move some of the tourists and flippers and tanks to the artificial reefs and give the natural ones a break.
So aside from the artificial reefs that are being developed under the watchful eye of Governor Andrew Cuomo, what else are you focusing on right now in your capacity as the Oceans Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in New York?
Well, there's a couple of exciting things on the horizon. the sewage upgrades in Nassau County and the nitrogen reduction efforts in Suffolk County, I think over time will be something that both marine life and fishermen will definitely be taking advantage of. And if you've spent any time downstate in New York Harbor or along any of the ocean beaches and seen more whales and dolphins in the surf, that's in large part due to some new fisheries management that's allowed the menhaden populations to come back, which has really been a boon also to marine life and to fishermen, as that brings in some of the bigger predatory fish that they like to target.
The sewage changes you referenced, is that something that's already taken effect or is now underway?
Some of the sewage upgrades are underway. For example, at Bay Park, we've just finished installing some nitrogen, stage one nitrogen reduction efforts, but also there are some big programs in the works to consolidate one of the smaller problematic plants in Long Beach and consolidate the outfall to get it out of Reynolds Channel, where it's causing some problems in there. So overall, in like 4 years or so when those projects are done, I think it's going to be one of the largest infrastructure projects in recent history in Nassau County, and certainly one of the largest water quality improvement projects in my lifetime. So it's pretty exciting to see that get off the ground.
Well, we've been speaking with Carl Lobo. He is the Ocean Program Director for the Nature Conservancy in New York. Carl, thank you so much for making the time and giving us this breakdown on the state's artificial reef program.
You bet. Thank you very much.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.